When one becomes aware of this, of the whole truth, that itself is renunciation. Renunciation is therefore merely the renunciation of a false sense of possession. A false sense of possession does not mean that there is a real sense of possession. The sense of possession itself is false. Can I see that clearly? If I see that clearly, there is no attachment to it. There is no clinging to it. There is no contact with it. There is no desire for it. And please remember, there is no aversion to it. Nyayasya, this is a very beautiful definition in the Bhagavad Gita. Nyayasya nitya sannyasi yo na dveshti na kangshati. And it may merely be a poetic necessity that dveshti came first before the other one, kangshati. You know, it may be merely metrical composition of the verse. But if you want to introduce, I mean, pull a meaning out of that, Bhagavad Gita as it is. Nyayasya nitya sannyasi, he is to be known as an eternal renouncer. Yo na dveshti, who does not dislike, does not hate. That comes first, na kangshati, not desires. It's not only a prohibition of desire, but a prohibition of what we have been calling renunciation. Oh, this I don't touch. Ah, missing. Something is missing. Oh, this I don't want. Right, this you don't want. I never heard Swami Shivananda say that. Never. Even when he did not want to do anything with something, he merely said, oh, achha, he merely turned away, nothing more. There's no need for it. You know, like some people, you know, he doesn't take coffee. It's a principle with him. He's, you know, coffee is poison. All right, that's poison to you. Huh? But if you see someone else drinking an hour's lecture, oh, coffee is poison, it's da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. With the result that next time he avoids you like poison. You've lost him. At least if you are in contact, it's possible that one day you might have converted him into non-coffee drinker. But by hammering all this, you've lost him. Merely say, it doesn't suit me. Why don't you eat this or drink that? It doesn't suit me. When this is the spirit of, to understand the spirit of renunciation, I think you have to live with a man like Swami Shivananda. That is fantastic. It's indescribable. I have hardly ever heard him speak about, I've renounced, you know, great wealth and that sort of thing, etc., etc. What a marvelous person I am. Often he made fun. What do you renounce? Only that which is a nuisance to you. The rickety old car, the so in briefcase you cannot carry any further, the old man who is a burden to you, What you actually renounce is what you consider burdensome, bothersome. And you throw it away not because you consider it very valuable to you and then you are renouncing it. You know it will sting you and hurt you, and so you throw it away. I've never heard him talk about all that. I've renounced all that now, you know. Who is the renouncer? Does the renouncer want to renounce something which he really values? Then he will not renounce.
Nobody would.
Unless he is trading it in for something more valuable. Watch your own mind. I am renouncing the world, comma. It's not a full stop there, comma. In order that I may attain eternal, How long am I? I may live this life for another 10 years. I am renouncing all the pleasures of this world. I am abandoning everything so that Lord give me eternal life in heaven. Oh, yo. Only 10 years and that's going to be eternal. Good business. First class deal. If you are honest, terribly honest. But again, please, I must return to this so that it's not misunderstood. That is not to say that I must cling to this. Because that also, yo na dveshti na kangshati. I am not throwing it away as useless, nor am I clinging to it as if it is terribly, it's of great value. Can I look at this life? Can I look at all that is here? Can I look at all that is here and now? The body, the clothes, the rickety old car, the briefcase, the old man, everything. Can I look at all that now as they are? Neither giving them more value than they have, nor foolishly imagining that they have no value at all. Then you are a sannyasi, sannyasa. Sannyasa means giving to each, not, let's put it negatively, not giving to anything here more value than it inherently possesses. And then Swami Shivananda came to India after giving up all his practice and so on in Malaya, where he was a doctor. And from here you must watch very carefully, and especially to some of you who are living here, this may be interesting. It was 1923 that he came to return to India. And May-June 1924, I think he became a Swami. So for about a year, not more, he was a wandering mendicant. I believe he went first to Benares. He didn't know the language. He couldn't speak Hindi very well till the end of his life. Though he lived in North India for quite a considerable time, 30, 40 years. Right. And he couldn't speak the language, and he was being pushed around here and there. He went to very near Bombay for a little while. He had voluntarily embraced the mendicant life. Hmm? I don't want family, I don't want any possessions, I don't want to accept any money for the work I do. I'm prepared to beg for my food and live a mendicant life. Very often we get hooked on to that. I've taken a vow. Boom, boom. I've never seen him take a vow. And I know that he discouraged people from taking vows. He used to say, "Vow, resolve." He sort of, you know, I would like to do this, please God. That sort of thing. And he found that it was difficult for him to beg. He didn't know how to beg. So he tried it for a couple of months. Something in him said, no, this is hopeless. You will either starve and die or... Then he took a job. He gave up a job. So you don't say, oh, I have given that up, that's finished. Finished. No. Then again you are giving that a greater value than it possesses. You are giving the life of mendicancy tremendous importance that it does not possess. Mendicancy may come your way, or non-mendicancy also may come your way. It's that...
But he chose it.
Sort of, yes, perhaps. Sort of. Answer to the whole thing, the key, lies in that question. Did he choose it, or did this... did it float down this cosmic stream? If you choose it, then you are very strong. Your eye is very strong. So as it came floating along, he picked up, he was floating down... Shvetapanna. He was floated down the stream as a mendicant and found that it didn't click. He was unsuited to it, or it was unsuited to him somehow. And then he took a job. The idea being that the eye does not want anything. All that luxury, etc., etc., all that money is not necessary. And begging is not possible. There is a third alternative. And that's what he found. He got himself a job as a domestic servant to a postmaster. I believe this man was officially a bachelor, though he was living with somebody. That he said he didn't mind at all. He didn't have to preach to him. Oh, you are living in sin. Nothing. He was this man's domestic servant, and he wasn't concerned about his going to heaven or hell. And so. This man was a bachelor. So he cooked for him, washed his clothes, and in return for which he was maintained. That's all he needed. And he had plenty of time for whatever he wanted to do, japa, meditation, and so on. And then eventually it was this postmaster that sent him to Rishikesh. You seem to be after some kind of spiritual life, this place is no good for you, you better go away to Rishikesh. That's the place where all the Swamis and so on. Right, that's also all right. None of these, the current moves. And as the current moves, he floated to Rishikesh. And a couple of days later, he was made a Swami. Right. In those days, they would not, I think even now, there are the few almshouses that are there. They are there to give, provide food, clothing and shelter only to Swamis. You can go there and introduce yourself, saying that I'm somebody's follower or whatever it is. And if you are a brahmachari, or a sort of mendicant type, they would provide you with food for about 2 or 3 days. Afterwards, they would say, what's your next stop? But then in the meantime, you can go to a Swami and put on these clothes and come back and, with a bold face and say, yes, I'm Swami so-and-so's disciple. They would write your name in their register. That's their regulation. Yes? So the second or third day, I believe, he was getting a bit worried. In the meantime, there is some Swami Vishwananda came and said, all right, I'll make you Swami. You'll be all right. So he became Swami. Then he, after living in a couple of other lonely places, he went to this ashram called Swargashram, where also, in addition to food and clothing, they also provide shelter. If you are a bona fide Swami, they give you a small room in which you can live and carry on, do what you want to do. There is no guru there, there is no guide, nothing. You are free. The ashram exists merely to provide food, clothing, shelter to bona fide Swamis. And a room was available. He occupied that room. Then, in what is the quotation from the Bible? You cannot hide a light under a bushel. Slowly he began to attract other people, young men. They joined him. They also became his disciples. And again, he also had to make them Swamis, otherwise they wouldn't get food there. You know, this is a problem. Once we came, he started his own ashram. There are people who are living there, who have been there for more than 20, 30 years. And they are more qualified than many others to be made Swamis. They don't want to. There's nothing wrong with that. Whoever lives here is already a Swami. Why must you change your cloth and shave your head or whatever it is? It may be necessary, right? I don't know, some of you know Swami Shiva Premananda? One of Swami Shivananda's disciples, who is now settled in America, I think. He's got a center in New York. He used to work with Swami Vishnudevananda for a long time. And he was wearing white clothes almost till the time he left to come to Canada, New York. So what? I mean, as long as you are there, there are no regulations in Shivananda Ashram that you must wear these clothes to be able to live there and be accommodated and fed. But in the case of the other ashrams, that was necessary. And as these disciples grew around him, that Swarga Ashram also had a regulation that every resident Swami here was allowed 2 disciples. It's sensible if you look at it rather dispassionately. Most of these Swamis were aged men and they needed somebody to look after them. Yes, a couple of young men to look after them. They said, all right, if you are an aged Swami, you can have 2 disciples. And they will also be accommodated in the Swargashram. Food, clothing, shelter provided to them. But then Swami Shivananda had more than that quota. And there was trouble. He had to leave that place or give up this crowd. He didn't want to give them up. And when he was away on tour, there was a little bit of friction in this Swargashram. between the authorities and Swami Shivananda's disciples. All this was conveyed to him when he returned from tour, and it seems he merely went to the manager of the ashram and said, "I'm leaving. What would you do? You give them a bit of your mind, no? No. I'm leaving. It doesn't suit me here. I'll go there. That's all." It's quite simple as that. Why am I renouncing this? It doesn't suit me. The objects that you renounce are those which do not suit your nature, your heart. These bits and pieces of renunciation of the world, renunciation of the objects of the world, renunciation of a certain style of life, certain lifestyle, renunciation of your family, all these may become necessary in the course of your own life. These have nothing to do with the spirit of renunciation, nishkama bhavana. Nishkama bhavana, or the spirit of renunciation, or the spirit of total desirelessness, arises when one clearly sees that the individuality itself is questionable. The error is there. In pure and simple theological parlance, all things belong to God. And I am but a cell in this total being. What shall I ask for and what shall I renounce? And that spirit of total surrender is what is known as sannyasa, what is known as nishkama bhavana, or the spirit of renunciation. The non-existent individuality does not renounce anything, has no business to renounce anything. And cosmic consciousness does not need to renounce anything. It is the false sense of possession and the false sense of individuality that need to be given up. By whom? That's a million-dollar question.